Recording. I think we are recording. So
So we're ready to go.
I'm allowing another. I'll just, if anybody else jumps in, mostly guests, I will go ahead and admit them in.
Okay.
And yeah. And I think I have the ability to mute everyone. So if there's a lot of feedback, I can do that. But then the person who, if it's you, Gary, wants is talking, you have to just unmute. Here's somebody else coming in. So
Why don't we go ahead and get started? And
okay.
as people join, we'll just acknowledge they're joining, particularly if it's the commissioners.
Okay.
So this is Commissioner Tao serving as chair. Good to see everybody. We're here, everybody, tonight. So I will call tonight's Planning Commission meeting to order. It's Thursday, May 14th. We'll start with roll call. So why don't we just go around, let the commissioners jump in and acknowledge your attendance, and then we'll move on from there.
Scott Greenberg, present.
Susan Torgerson, present.
Commissioner Bovers, present.
And I think that's who we have for now. So welcome, commissioners. Nice to be working with you again. Seems like it's been an awful long time. And I'll apologize for not being able to resolve my technical difficulties with the software for last week.
Olivia Mo,
yes, thank you.
Great.
Awesome. Hi, Olivia.
Hello.
So at this time, we'll open it up. It's an opportunity for public comment on any topic unrelated to tonight's public hearing. 3 minutes per person. Are there any members of the public that would like to offer a comment on a topic that is not the Habitat for Humanity, which will be a public hearing a little bit later in the agenda?
And if you're having any issues, you just hover over the main screen. There should be a bar that pops up, and you'll see a microphone and a video. And you can just, if there's a line through it, it means you're muted. So you can just click that if you wish to speak during the times we are doing that.
Okay. So I'm not hearing any. It does look like Commissioner Blanco is joined.
I have. Yes.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Okay, so I think it's Commissioner Bush is the only one that we're missing at this point, so we'll just leave that open, and if she joins, great. Otherwise, we'll entertain a motion to excuse her later in the meeting. So next topic is approval of tonight's agenda. Is there a motion to approve the agenda for tonight's meeting?
I move approval of tonight's agenda. This is Scott. Commissioner
Greenberg has made a motion to approve the agenda. Is there a second?
A second, Olivia Mo.
Seconded by Commissioner Mo. All in favor, please audibly say aye.
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 Any opposed? All right, our agenda is approved for this evening. So we don't have the minutes from the previous meeting. That'll be available at a future meeting. For the April 23rd Planning Commission. So our next topic is the public hearing. Jamie, do you want to go ahead and introduce the topic? And then I believe you have a guest as well representing Habitat Humanity in the project. Is that correct?
Correct, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so for everyone there, I'm Jamie Burrell, Senior Planner with the City of North Bend. And thanks for joining us tonight. So we do have Patrick Sullivan from Habitat on the call as well. And so if commissioners have questions, we can definitely bring him in here. So just to go over the order for the public hearing tonight, again, we are recording. And I'm going to introduce the project briefly and the development agreement proposal. And the chair will then call the public hearing open, And each person that wants to address the planning commission should go off mute one at a time. Just take a turn and state your name and address slowly so we can write that down. And limit your comments to 3 minutes. And all of your remarks should be addressed to the planning commission and not to anybody individually. Staff and Habitat may be willing to answer some of the questions or provide clarification at the end if we have time to do that. But the focus of the hearing will be on the development agreement, which is in the packet. And that is in a, I'll talk about that here in a second. Comments received already via email will be included as part of the record. And then the chair will close the public hearing and the planning commission may discuss further tonight if time allows, or they will take the information received tonight and they will continue to discuss this topic with a recommendation likely at their meeting on May 28th, the next time the planning commission meets. So Habitat for Humanity is proposing a new project at 250 East 2nd Street. The parcel is about 0.3 acres, and it's immediately east of the five cottage homes that were just constructed. It's bounded by an alley, Janet Avenue, and East 2nd Street, and currently there's a single-family home on the property. So the proposal is for seven fee simple, meaning individually sold and purchased, not for rent, permanently affordable units, seven total. Two would be at 50% the area median income or below. It's called AMI. So based on the median income, it sets affordability that way. And five of them would be at 80% of that affordability range. And so as far as the application review, we haven't received a full application yet, but we expect that soon, which would include engineering, building, design. What we received so far was a request for a development agreement. And so many of the comments that we've received for this development agreement application relate more to the site plan and the engineering details. And there's some great comments and feedback that is nice to have early on in the project. So when we get the full application, we will be looking at a what's called a binding site plan review, which is the mechanism to separate the parcel, which is one, into seven. And then, like I said, we'll do engineering review, stormwater, fire review, all that. So when we receive the full application, there will be a notice of application sent to properties within 300 feet, similar to what we did for this hearing. The site will be posted on, there'll be a sign put up on the property, and it will be published in the paper and online. And there will be a 15-day comment period that runs with the notice of application. And there will also be a SEPA, State Environmental Policy Act determination, and that will also require a 15-day comment period. Those may run concurrently at the same time, may not. We just have to kind of see when we get the application in what the issues are. So if you've submitted comments, you can resubmit the old comments or you can provide new ones at the time of the notice of application if you wish. But like I said, your comments are in the record for the project, and we're going to do our best to, you know, consider those and address them as we go through the project review. Otherwise, the project will be reviewed administratively, and comments, we can respond to those comments in our administrative reports, but the Planning Commission will be looking at this development agreement, but not the details of the entire project. So just to quickly give you a summary of what a development agreement is, it's an agreement between the city and another party, in this case Habitat. And it allows for there to be establishes different standards and requirements that may differ from the code. And there's a lot of times that we use these. We have some flexibility built into our code, but there's always the unexpected or I'm just trying to think of some examples, like the Playfield project. You know, we're going to have a phase one and a phase two, and they want to defer some things. And so it's always, we have to keep in mind what's in the city's best interest, of course. But it's an agreement to work with somebody when it's not clearly allowed or enabled in the code. So, so far we've received 5 comments via email to date. One came in today from Michael Thomas that I forwarded to everyone in this meeting. 2 comments supported the project. 1 comment provided pictures related to parking concerns and had about 10 questions, which staff answered and were more related probably to site engineering and design. The comment also supported the project, but just wanted some clarification. And then the comment received today did not support the project and listed concerns about parking and sewer, water, those sorts of issues. So the Planning Commission will have time to look at those comments and the ones that are applicable to the development agreement. So what we're focusing in on today is the actual development agreement and the parts that Habitat has requested to deviate from the code. And they've asked for that because they're doing an affordable housing development. But number one, we have a sewer concurrency limitation in our code, and we want to be careful while we're making improvements to the plant with that capacity. So we are making improvements. We think that we'll have a capacity in 3 to 5 years to really open things up again. But right now it is limited, and we have, we've reserved special capacity in downtown and also for special projects like this. And the code specifically calls that out, that it's an affordable housing project in the downtown. And so we have capacity. It's just part of that development agreement where we just kind of want to make sure that we've double checked and that we're going to be good there. So sewer concurrency is not an issue from the city's perspective. And then the second major thing in the development agreement, as you can see, is the impact fees. And per single family home right now, our impact fees are $56,000. When you add up all the different impact fees, school, fire, park, transportation, and then you also have general facility charges, which are your connection to your sewer, your connection to your water. So that adds up. So that's why Habitat asked, you know, are there some fees you could reduce? Are there some fees you could waive? The development agreement proposes a 50% reduction in our transportation impact fees, and that is $7,000 per unit. So that's a savings there. The second request for fees is the bicycle and pedestrian fee. That's a pretty new fee that the city adopted, and it's $1,220 per unit. So the city staff feel that we can waive that 100%. It's not a huge fee, and being as though this property's in the downtown, it has sidewalks and good connections already. The third fee that we feel like we can reduce 50% again is the stormwater fee. And that is $2,680 per unit. That's a one-time fee. And then we also charge, we charge per unit and we charge per impervious surface area. So those are some of the savings that we think we can give. The others that are built into the code, which we don't need to accommodate in the development agreement, is the fire and park impact fees can already be waived because this is affordable housing. And the school impact fees, the last one, is there's an ability to waive it for the units, for the 2 units that are 50% AMI, but not the other ones that are 80. And that's the school district's policy. It's just a pass-through for the city. So staff brought this to our council committee, the Community and Economic Development Committee, looked at this development proposal April 21st, and they supported this concept, and then the process is the Planning Commission to give their input and recommendation, and then it has to go to council for approval. like I said, and what's in the documents is that the Habitat still has to pay their general facility charges. That's really important to us as far as supporting our utilities and all the improvements we need. And so they get a credit for the one house that's there for all the impact fees. But for the remaining six units, their sewer connection will be almost $92,000, and their water fee will be $62,000. So there's still a lot of costs in this project, for sure. It's not cheap to build. let's see here. The other piece in the development agreement is that the city is receiving funds through Senate House Bill 1406. We haven't received them yet, but we're estimating that we could cover part of buyback approximately $20,000 in what Habitat has to pay for some of these impact fees because of the funding that we are going to be receiving. And again, in support of affordable housing. So that's about all I have to say. We're here to hear from you guys. But I guess, Patrick, if you have anything else that you want to add for clarifying or anything before we open the public hearing, I'll go ahead, give you that opportunity.
Thank you, Jamie. And thank you to you and your team for all the support you've given us over the last couple of months as we're trying to put everything together. I'll just add a little bit of detail to some of the things Jamie said. The five units that we won't necessarily meet 50% or below AMI, we will probably end up hitting somewhere between 50 and 80. So our historic levels are below 50, but when we look across the board, we'll probably end up having those other five units in the 55 or 60% range. So I just want to clarify that it's not 80% on the nose. I'll also say, in terms of keeping the units affordable in perpetuity, we will maintain ownership. Habitat Seattle King County will maintain ownership over the land, and we'll enter it into our land trust, where we administer the administration of that land trust. We currently have about 500 units in our land trust, and that's how we ensure permanent affordability. So if someone ends up moving out, we will repurchase the house from them and resell it at a preset cost to the next homeowner, so that we maintain the affordability for home buyers for generations. So that's all I'll add. Thank you.
All right. This is Gary. Jamie, is there anything more you want to add by way of introduction?
No, I think that's good. Just a reminder, you know, if anybody wishes to comment, they're welcome to, even if they've submitted. If you have submitted written comments, that can suffice. You don't have to speak. And really, the focus for tonight is the development agreement, which again relates to providing sewer and reducing some impact fees. So,
okay. So, commissioners, I think just process-wise, I think we'll open up, or I'll open up the public hearing. We'll take whatever public testimony there may be tonight. We do have some written comments already submitted for the record. So once we've taken any public comment, public testimony, Jamie, I'll ask you if you want to, or Patrick, want to address either any of the testimony received tonight from the public, or anything on the written record, or if you want to defer that, give yourself a little time to analyze some of the comments, particularly I know we got one just late this afternoon that you probably haven't had too much time to spend a lot of time on. So then once you get an opportunity, Jamie or Patrick, to kind of clarify or answer any of the questions or address any of the comments that the public has submitted, either written or oral. Then I'll open it up for the commissioners for either questions of staff, Patrick, or just general discussion about the development agreement. So unless there's any objection to that process, I'll go ahead and open up the public hearing. What I'd like to ask, if there are any members who are online that do wish to testify, that you stay on mute until I actually get the public hearing opened, and then we'll see how many people actually do want to testify. For the record, we'll capture the names and the addresses, and then we'll go through one by one. But I'd like to see how many people on the list of attendees actually wish to testify tonight before we start taking the testimony, so we know how much time to allow. There'll be a limit of 3 minutes per comment. And once we get through all of that, we'll close the public hearing, give staff an opportunity to address any of the comments, any of the testimony that you received, and then we'll move into commissioner discussion. So we have a number of people online, and everybody, I believe, is muted right now. So if you would like to testify, please unmute and let me know. Give me your name, and we'll make the list, and then we'll start working through the list.
My name is Rosemary Kursak. I'd like to testify.
Okay, thank you very much. Anybody else who's online, please unmute. Let me know that you wish to testify. Okay, I'm not hearing any. Ms. Kursak, we'll go ahead and take your testimony. Again, please limit it to 3 minutes. And start with stating your address for the record, if you don't mind.
My address is 425 20th Avenue East, Seattle, 98112.
Thank you very much. Go ahead.
I would like to not restate the comments that I wrote in my letter, but simply point out that this process, as the documents indicate, provides a net benefit to the city by providing a much needed affordable range of housing. North Bend needs houses for families who have lived in the valley for years, and this provides that opportunity. We live in a world where we share costs, and to object because somebody else is going to pay a little bit more for the sewer is nothing compared to the value of a family who for years, decades, generations has lived in the valley and should have a chance to remain there. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Is there anybody else online who would like to testify tonight?
Yeah, this is Jim Estes.
Can I get your address, please?
Yeah, it's 226 East 2nd Street in North Bend.
Okay, thank you. Go ahead.
I know we had sent some comments in earlier prior to this. And I guess kind of the biggest concerns we have being really mostly impact fees kind of to everything, as well as just kind of an overall impact to the community. Understand affordable, yes, it's needed. But at the same time, so has the city waived these impact fees for other developments, or is the city kind of strictly looking at this as an affordable development, and so you're able to waive these fees, kind of null and void to any other development, just being the fact that it is affordable? And kind of specifically, you look at the $7,000 reduction in transportation, being the SVT, transit and pedestrian and bicycle. It's already a secondary corridor along 2nd Street that Jamie had pointed out, or the city had pointed out, that this was being used as a truck route. So the street's already being impacted kind of heavily. There is bicycle traffic. There is a lot of pedestrian traffic. And quite frankly, there is a lot of, you know, single family using cars, using this road. And just for record, there's 16 cars parked on Janet Avenue that belong to one single family home. And to kind of say that parking's not an impact is silly, in my thought. And for fire and park reduction brought to zero, they're adjacent to a park, they're adjacent to schools. You know, I think it would require looking at some other options, because while affordable is understood, it doesn't mean that this can just go to nothing, that everyone else has to pay for it instead. And, you know, specifically, if the goal is to kind of provide affordable and with the parking and kind of the unit and all of these fees, you know, who's to say how many people and children are living in these units? You know, there could be an impact of 20 kids that were approved to live across these 7 units. And to say that that's not an impact is kind of, you know, again, how can you? I think that's kind of, those are kind of the few things that ultimately stick out in everything.
Great.
And yeah.
Hey, thank you very much for your testimony tonight. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Is there anybody else who would like to testify? Hearing none, I will close the public hearing. And Jamie, turn it over to you to see if there's anything you would like to address, either in the testimony you've heard tonight or in the written testimony that's been supplied, or in another way, otherwise clarify the project presentation.
Okay, sure. So as far as the testimony tonight, I think to answer the question, have we waived impact fees before? No, this would be the first affordable housing project that we've seen since I've been with the city for 15 years. So this is new. We've done quite a few development agreements, which you know, might have been, instead of paying a traffic impact fee, you actually construct a roundabout or a portion of a roundabout. Or like I said, you can defer those fees until the second phase. You know, Tollgate Park, you can install septic instead of hooking to sewer because it's a park. So there's always these kind of out of the box projects that come up that we haven't seen before. But like I said, the code does anticipate for park and fire specifically that that it would give an allowance for those fees and for the what was the other one? The there's too many fees. You know, yes, it would be great. The city would love to have all the fees, and we could find projects and uses for all of them. But we are recognizing that that this is an affordable housing project, that it's really needed in the downtown. It gives just different opportunities. And we feel like there was support so far from the city, from the folks that work on the different capital projects, to say, well, yeah, it's going to cut a little bit, but we're not, you know, it's seven units net six that we're going to see a little bit of a reduction, and we can make some of that up with the Senate House bill that I mentioned. So and that's why, you know, we went to 50%. For the two that we could adjust, we cut it. We're proposing to cut it by 50%, so not 100. And then there was concerns about the impacts to the local roads. And when you pay a traffic impact fee, It goes, like I mentioned, to our capital projects list. So we've identified a number of projects, typically over a six-year plan, that we want to get to. And it doesn't necessarily mean that it will be on your street. It could be the worst intersection. It could be across town. It's the overall transportation system throughout the city. So I just want to clarify that just because you get a traffic impact fee from a development doesn't mean the money is spent right there. Through project review, we can require extra mitigation related to the project, adjacent to the project, or right next to it if it's warranted by that project. But it's always that cumulative effect. You're not gonna, you know, see a huge bump when it's six units, but you know, if 20 more come within that block, you might. So that's why we link it to our projects that are in our capital plan, and then we fund them in order of priority when the impact fees come in. And then, you know, there was mention of 17 cars for one property. Well, that sounds like that's a property that one property owner is contributing to that, which is unfortunate. And, you know, I don't know if there's a way to get any enforcement on that, but that would be something to look into with the police and our, if there's broken down vehicles, you know, that we could try to address that. So, as far as the written comments, like I said, the one came in with about 10 questions that staff was able to answer, and that was provided in the packet. So hopefully that answered some of those questions. And I didn't really have responses, you know, for each comment that's been submitted. Like I said, a lot of them were more related to site planning and design, and some, and I've passed them all on to Habitat. So there's some that we can look to accommodate with the design, and some that are good information, good, always good to hear from the community. And then there'll be more chances to comment, like I said, through the notice of application and the SEPA.
Great, thank you. Mm-hmm. Okay, commissioners, we'll open it up for questions or commission discussion. Again, I think just to manage the conversation, if we can all stay muted until we want to speak, just let me know, and I'll acknowledge the commissioner by name so that we have that for the record, and then we'll just kind of go from there. So. Are there any commissioners that would like to start off with any questions or discussion topics?
Chair Tao, I have a question on process.
Sure.
Based on the staff information we were given, is it correct we are not voting on this tonight? We're going to vote at our next meeting?
Yes, so we're taking testimony tonight, have an opportunity to ask questions, request any additional information from staff or the applicant, and then we'll defer action until a subsequent meeting.
Okay, can I ask a question then?
Absolutely.
Okay, so of staff, I had sent an email about this earlier. I just kind of wanted to make sure I understood the answer. So the development agreement itself is valid for 10 years. Is that correct, Jamie?
That's correct.
Okay. But the commitment to have these units as affordable is in perpetuity?
Correct. It runs with the land. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And correct me if I'm using my iPad to view the packet because I'm online here. Is that somewhere in the development agreement? Or how do we make sure that if the development agreement expires in 10 years and is no longer valid, how do we ensure that the affordability will be maintained in perpetuity?
Mm-hmm. The development agreement, I'll have to pull it up, I believe does mention that it will be held in perpetuity and run with the land. So I thought we had added that into the development agreement. It would be a separate trust that would be set up, and Patrick might be able to chime in and know a little bit more about this, but I will take a look at the development agreement. I know we had language in there related to it, but yeah, I think the point is that the development agreement deal that we're looking at goes away if we don't get the affordable housing. So
So there, you usually what happens is something is recorded on the recorded, and even if the development agreement no longer exists, there's still the recorded document, and the city then retains some control over if in the future, say 30 years from now, Habitat wanted to eliminate the affordability requirement, they'd have to come back to the city and go through an appropriate process at that time. That's what I would be looking for.
Okay.
Thanks, Scott.
Yeah, thank you.
Any other commissioners with questions or comments?
Yeah, I have a couple, a clarification and a question. Clarifying the DA, we are not talking about the parking issue here. The DA here is about sewer concurrency and impact fees specifically, so we can't really speak to any parking questions with the DA. Is that correct?
So parking is not included in the development agreement because we have allowance in the code to provide some on site and some on the street, which they are. And but we, you know, like I said, if there's time and there's we can definitely field some quick questions on that.
Okay, my next question is with the sewer concurrency. Was this project part of the plan when the city set aside the percentage points originally?
No, this project was not known at the time. And I believe that we set aside 69 ERUs in the downtown. So we had 69 new connections that that were reserved for the downtown. So that could be a lot of other projects that we don't know about yet, but the focus was to preserve some in downtown. So this takes away six.
You said it was proposed, but did we already have projects in mind when we made the percentages that we had allowed? My point being, are we taking away something that might have already been in line?
No, they weren't spoken for. The estimate was those were free. And you know, for let's say a business that's not on sewer right now and you know had an issue and they needed to hook up. So the idea is, yeah, this project, maybe another one down the road, would be able to we could accommodate them. The real focus of the capacity was not allowing any more large subdivisions. Or major apartment projects that are hundreds of units. So
I think just, you know, in part as a part of discussion about the DA, in my opinion, I kind of fall in the same line with the impact fees as some of the comments. I think that the code allows for reductions in certain places, which is already being applied. In my opinion, the added impact fee waiving and reduction, I think, goes a little above and beyond what I'm particularly comfortable with. I think that they're already getting savings that the code has allowed for when we wrote it, when the city wrote it. I don't particularly, I'm not a huge fan of increasing that again, giving more of a reduction to those fees. I think it kind of goes back for me, at least the DAs in general, I have a little bit of a concern with is, the code should be built to allow for certain things, and I understand special circumstances, but DAs in general, they seem to be giving special allowances that the code should just have. If that's the goal here is to have a good city code that people can use, we shouldn't have to keep coming back to DAs. Again, I understand the reasoning for it, but I would say that, in my opinion, that the impact fees should be applied as meant in the code.
Okay, thanks, James. Any other commissioners wish to weigh in?
This is Susan Torgerson.
Hi, Susan. Go ahead.
I just had a quick question. I was wondering on the fire and park impact fees. I don't know if Jamie said what those are, but what is that amount of fire impact fees?
I think it is in the packet. The park, and I'm just going off memory, the park is around $4,000 per unit. And then the fire is under $1,000 per unit.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Susan. Any other commissioners?
Yeah, Olivia Mo, I have a question. When the city was looking at what impact fees to waive and which ones to reduce, is there a way of deciding, or how do we decide that we can waive 50% of transportation as opposed to 30%?
Right. Yeah, there is no magic formula. Like I said, through the development agreement, you can propose anything. Now, the Habitat, when they came, they requested that the DA eliminate everything. And that was their request. From the beginning, we said, well, we're not going to budge on the general facility charges for sewer and water. That funds our sewer and water systems, and that's really important. Whereas the impact fees are funding projects that are identified in our capital plans and one through whatever. So, like I said, any dollar not received is less that we have to work with. But that is the meaning for a development agreement. So we looked at it internally and decided that those two fees, the transportation and stormwater, we'd be willing to reduce in half and then waive the bike and pedestrian. But it's it's up for discussion. It's your recommendation as well to the council. So,
Commissioner Moe, any other follow-up?
No, not about the impact fees. Thank you.
Okay. Any other topics you want to address now?
I had questions about Habitat for Humanity, but not necessarily about sewer or impact fees.
They're the applicant. It's the project and all that it entails along with the development agreement. So I think asking questions... Okay. To or about Habitat Humanity is certainly
if we have time, I would love. So I was just wondering about the process of getting a house through Habitat for Humanity. What is the real likelihood that it would be a North End family that is living here currently now and maybe can't afford to stay that would actually get one of these units?
Can I answer that? Okay, that's a great question.
Yes, please do.
That's a great question, and thanks for asking. We have a family services team, six people in our Renton office that facilitates the sale and locating partner families. So just to give you a quick overview, the family selection service starts at the time that we would be breaking ground. And what we would do in North Bend, we would have a focused, we would focus all of our efforts in the community for at least the first 6 to 8 months, trying to find only members within that community that are able to purchase those homes. If we're not able to find anyone in those 6 months, then we would start branching out. And we usually go sort of proximity wise in terms of greatening that radius away from North Bend until we can start finding more families that would be interested in purchasing the homes. So we do make a very conscientious and focused effort to start within the community itself that we're building to get the applicants early on and locate those families within the community itself before we ever go to the greater pool of the surrounding area.
That makes sense. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions?
I have a follow-up for Habitat. This
sure.
is Susan.
Commissioner Torgerson, go ahead.
Do the potential homeowners come up with all the money, or is there programs in which they're being helped to be able to put down payments, that kind of thing? Is there any community that's organized community that's helping them with the purchase of their home?
You know, in a way, yes. We begin with the, during that selection process, if we find a family, the first selection really is the financial ability to close on the home. So we do get very involved in trying to understand the homeowner or buyer financing and what they can afford to put up. We do offer a pretty robust down payment assistance program, but outside of our down payment assistance program, we're not really getting funding for their mortgages from another third party. What we do is on the front end, and a part of this is the impact fee discussion, we're trying to buy down the cost of these homes so that when it comes time to sell, the purchase price is as low as it can possibly be, because again, they need to be affordable. I don't know. I hope that answers your question.
Commissioner Torgerson, anything else?
No, that's good. Thank you. I had to get the mute off.
Yeah. Any other commissioners wish to jump in?
Yeah, I have another question, Olivia.
Sure.
So if these impact fees, if we weren't able to waive all of these, what's the likelihood of you continuing this project and still applying for construction and moving forward?
Do you mean if we were not able to waive any impact fees?
Yeah, if we weren't able to waive the impact fees.
Well, it creates another barrier for us. So what my job, and I should have introduced myself, I'm the director of real estate development with Habitat. And one of those roles is to try to find every way available for us to lower the overall cost to build the house, because we don't make a profit. We just sell the homes for cost. So looking at our financial model for North Bend right now is pretty close to razor thin. In order for us to build 7 units in a community where our engineering has to be pretty complex because of the needs of the environmental needs of North Bend, so we're incurring really large costs. So bottom line is we have every intention of moving forward with the project. It's just a matter of how easy will it be to maintain the affordability. And when we say, you know, we serve people between 50 and 80% AMI, we all know that the hardest hit individuals or families are ones in the 50 to 60 range. So ideally we'd like to serve them, and the lower the cost of the home through things that pile up with fees or just construction costs are going to cause us to have less of an ability to sell to the target population that we most want to serve.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Commissioners, anything else?
Do you want comments now or just questions?
Either are fine. Scott, if you have comments.
Okay. I'll make a brief comment. From what I've seen so far and heard, I'm in support of this proposal. So in my professional career, I was a member of the Arch Citizen Advisory Board and also the Executive Board for probably 5 or 6 years. For those who don't know, ARCH is a regional coalition for housing and provides funding for affordable housing projects on the east side. North Bend is not part of that group. And one of the first things that we did when looking at proposals for ARCH funding of affordable housing projects, and Patrick may have been involved in some of these, I don't know, is we would ask the local jurisdiction where the proposal was being proposed whether they had impact fees that they could waive. ARCH was instrumental in getting state law change a number of years ago to allow impact fees to be waived for affordable housing. And I think it's a really fairly simple thing to do for a local jurisdiction, for a city or a county, to show their support and actually provide some real meaningful support for affordable housing in the community. So based on that, I'm totally in support of the proposal.
Thank you, Commissioner Greenberg. Any other commissioners?
Yes.
Commissioner Torgerson, I think that was you.
No, Judy Blanco.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Hi. Am I on? Sorry
about that. Commissioner Blanco, go ahead.
I do have a couple of comments. I just would like to say that this project is exactly what our city has been wishing for, and affordable housing in the core of the city. Regarding the impact fees and the GFCs, again, giving this some thought, with the potential number of housing starts and multifamily units coming online, I feel that the proposed exceptions to these fees seem reasonable. And I just wanted to throw that in. I've heard that, and I realize that there's some that are going to be paid in full and some that we can waive. And so I'd like to support that. And thirdly, I looked at your projects, Patrick, the pictures of your projects, and I just would like to speak to one that I particularly kind of liked, and for the I'll tell the reason. And to minimize the visual impact of these buildings, I'd like to see the multicolor paint scheme similar to the Rainier Vista project, and that would be on page 38 of our packet. So kind of a favorite, thought it would look nice there, and I just wanted to share that with you. Thank you.
Thank you, Judy. Any other commissioners with questions or comments? Okay, I have a couple, mainly questions. So Jamie, is the underlying zoning, the existing zoning for that parcel, did I read it that it's downtown commercial?
Yes.
And these are proposed townhomes?
Yes, they are. So they're a townhome definition is an attached single family home. So individually owned.
Under the downtown commercial zone?
Yes, they are allowed.
Okay. And a similar question to Commissioner Moe regarding the how we came up with the numbers of to waive the impact fees. And so this is probably more of a comment and a request than a question, but it didn't sound like there was necessarily a science applied to determining those waiver amounts or elimination amounts. And yet I think, you know, because this is a public process, I think the record needs something a little stronger on the justification for those impact fee reductions or waivers, because it sounds like that was just a negotiated agreement, which starts to get to a shared concern I have with Commissioner Bovers over development agreements in general and how they tend to skirt zoning and existing development regulations for purposes of popular projects. And while I admire Habitat for Humanity, and I think this is certainly a worthwhile project and definitely a need in North Bend, I think we owe our citizens more rationale behind the recommendations we're making to either reduce or eliminate some of those impact fees. So I'd like to see when this comes back a little bit more rationale behind why that's the recommended amount, not just in a negotiated agreement. And I think it also, one of the other concerns I have that I would like to see incorporated into this as it comes forward, one way or another. While I think the actions that staff is recommending on this particular project certainly help reduce the costs and make the units more affordable, nonetheless, those code required impact fees remain, and we don't appear to really be addressing some of those code required costs that drive those projects up in the first place. And we're going to continue to have to address, I think, the code imposed cost to these projects in terms of really making substantial and sustainable progress towards affordable housing goals. So, you know, when we've talked about development agreements previously, they've come to us almost as a means to an end, that these are projects that are facilitating either future land use changes, public policy changes, something that, but we need a test project to test some of these concepts or principles to see if they work. And if so, we can then scale them up. And again, we're appear to be approaching this just as a popular project that we want to see, but it's still leaving the items that make home ownership so expensive kind of out there on the table. So, you know, I'd like to see either some staff narrative or some data that kind of shows how this project facilitates future progress towards affordable housing. And I think also one of the concerns that I've had previously over development agreements, and it applies to this project as well, is kind of that split between what we see in the development agreement and what we don't see, which is handled administratively or through the development process, particularly parking, which was a comment made by multiple people, concerns over the parking. And I'm not sure that I think the development agreement really should address what the plan is for parking and address some of the concerns that the people who have submitted testimony have raised. So that, to me, is a gap in the development agreement that leaves open how the parking will be addressed and kind of defers that for a whole separate process. And I believe we should be voting on and approving something that gives us the fullest picture of the project as possible. And I think parking is a big piece of that. So those are my questions, comments, and requests as we move forward with this.
I have a question. So once the application is made by Habitat for Humanity, will that come to us so that we can look at all of the other details like parking and water and things that this DA is not currently addressing?
No, so if there wasn't a request for the impact fees, and well, this project would require a DA no matter what because of our sewer concurrency issue, but that would be what it would be limited to. This is an allowed use. They're meeting the density, and they would be allowed to do the project without involving you guys. It would just be an administrative, like I said, there'd be a couple public notice touch points, and then meeting the code, all the different code requirements, but no, it wouldn't require your review.
Okay, anything else, commissioners, on this topic? All right, Jamie, we'll go ahead and close this one out. I think I already closed the public hearing, so I think next step in the process, I think I saw, would this come back to us May 28th or?
Right. Did you remember what time you closed the public hearing? I'm not sure. Well, we'll try to get that through the recording. I didn't write that time down, but I think we did close it. So, Yeah, I think that your comments were all great. That is, you know, something I had asked our public works for when I said, you know, what do you guys support? So the just to be clear, the 50% was the staff recommendation. It wasn't Habitat's, so it wasn't really a negotiation there. We just came back and said, hey, we're going to draft the DA. This is what we support. But I'll work with Public Works to get some more information. I'll talk to legal about the parking issue. Similarly, like the school impact fees, you know, they had told me if it's not something that has to be addressed in the DA, it is best to leave it out because that is how we do all the other projects. And that's what the code allows. So that's why the parking wasn't in there. And what they're showing now is they would actually have, they would net two parking spaces beyond what's required. So for the two spots per unit, that'd be 14. And I think they are estimating 16 right now. So, but yeah, there's a lot of like devils in the details when we get down to the project review, making sure it meets the code. And they're working through that now to get a full application. But anybody who wants to be a party of record and get those documents when they come in are definitely welcome to, and then to comment. So I didn't hear any specific changes that you want to see in the development agreement. You wanted some clarifications. Commissioner Greenberg, I wanted to make sure that there was language in there that if they, for some reason, Habitat goes away and now the projects are, and that trust goes away, that the city would be notified and I guess, I'm not sure how that would look, but I'll look into some language there to see if the city would have any recourse at that point to go back and say, hey, wait a minute, we gave you a deal because it was affordable, now it's not. What I know of Habitat's history is that doesn't happen, that they hold that in perpetuity. So let's just hope it doesn't, but we'll plan for the worst if we can, add some language in there. So yeah, I'll just, if there's any other questions that come up in the next 2 weeks, anything you want to ask, or I can check with others at the city, just shoot me a message or give me a call. I'll be available to help you in your decision making. But yeah, I think that's it for this.
Okay, thanks, Jamie. Thank you, Patrick. Appreciate you being part of this process.
Yeah, right. And for others that are still on the call, if you're, we're going to be talking about parking amendments, I think, next. So if you're welcome to dive off the call at any time if you'd like.
Exactly. Our next topic is amendments to the parking regulations. Is Jesse on? Is he handling that one?
Yes, I'm here, Jesse Planner with the City of North Bend. Hi, Jesse. My connection at my allocated office in my house sometimes is not the best, so if I have to turn off video, then please pardon me. So council has voiced a desire to look into changing our parking code, North Bend Municipal Code 18.16. The last time it was updated was 2009, so the city's changed a bit. Staff got together and came up with five specific changes that could be made to the code. And so tonight is the introduction to you, the Planning Commission, to get your feedback and hear how we could move forward with this. I'd like to make a note that there is no rush to this. This isn't, you know, we're not looking to close the book here in any specific time. So if the Planning Commission feels that they'd like to go dive into things a little further or have some more time to deliberate, then by all means, please take your discretion. The five particular code changes that we are interested in focusing on include adding bicycle parking requirements. Bikes have been, well, in the Northwest region, bikes have been a lot more common. Especially North Bend, biking fits our adopted branding. But right now we don't have any requirements for parking, so for bicycle parking. So we added some potential language that could have that in our code. We also suggest adding some a little bit of language to open up the possibility for either a in-lieu fee or a downtown parking improvement district. So much like a utility improvement district, this is kind of designating a certain zone that would collectively benefit from more parking infrastructure. And so instead of as individual projects come to fruition, having them allocate parking to their specific lots, we could look into having more regional facilities. That's one example. And this isn't diving into that in detail right now. That's just opening up the code to make that a possibility. That would be a whole other subject. That would be quite a detailed thing to get into right now. The minimum standards, we have some potential updates to that for a couple of reasons. Number one is we're looking to have it better match our table of permitted and conditional uses, just kind of the subject matter in that. So when people go to develop, they can look at both tables and kind of get a better idea versus having completely different orders. Also, there were some kind of, in general, our table of minimum standards is really general in use. Whereas if you look at the city of Issaquah, it's much more prescriptive, which general is good, but it also left a few things off. And so we added a couple more things to that. And we can dive into the details in a little bit. I could potentially share my screen if that's what the commission would like to do. We've also looked to simplify the procedures and requirements for using city lands for off-street parking. So what that means is if there's a development and city land is adjacent to it, then there could be some kind of a deal where the developer improves the lands to add parking, but the amount of parking that goes in has to be above and beyond what would be required for the site if it were just to have parking on its own. And so that process is pretty complicated with a complicated equation, and we're looking to simplify that. We come up with some recommendations, and I'm curious to hear your feedback on that. And then the final thing, which is something that City Administrator David Miller mentioned with a lot of, we're looking to increase the density in our downtown of residences, is eliminating counting on-street parking for residential use. So as multifamily units come in, then, you know, we don't want to make the streets super crowded. We want to be able to have the parking on site. So we did send these draft code, or a previous version, which is really not that much different than the track changes that you all saw. We sent it to the business outreach group, which is, for those of you who don't know, that's a, used to be, well, times of COVID, things changed in a lot of ways, but it used to be a monthly morning meeting, that was, run by, Mayor McFarland and, David Miller before, Mayor McFarland was mayor, of local businesses, a lot of them in the downtown. So we sent it to them to get feedback. It was really, there were a couple emails on clarifications on what the parking changes had to do with. I think there was a little bit of confusion that these are, this is development code. So this wouldn't make any changes to the way parking is for existing businesses or facilities. It would be when development comes in. So that was a clarification that I realized that I should have explained better. But then there was also some comments on just making some clarifications, not using too many acronyms and jargon. So I thank that citizen who suggested those edits. We opened up SEPA comment period on the 8th. I checked today with those that were in City Hall, and we have not received any mail yet, but we did receive one email from Michael Thomas. Michael Thomas was unable to be at the meeting tonight, so I will read his comment verbatim. It looks like on his email, 5 of the 7 PC members received the mail. So for the sake of the entire Planning Commission, I will read that now. So this is from Michael Thomas at 1231 La Forest Drive, Southeast, North Bend, Washington. He says, I have the comment on parking regulations on the agenda for Planning Commission May 14th, 2020. First bullet, reduction in parking requirements for multifamily in both cases of two-bedroom and one-bedroom studio should not be allowed, period. Two spaces for both is appropriate. Next bullet, two-bedroom and above for multifamily are missing guest parking requirements. One space per three units may be a start. Next bullet, appropriate parking space for staff maintenance and also to accommodate clubhouses, deliveries, offices for any multifamily need be added. Next bullet, parking in lieu fees should be disallowed for any residential development. People need places to park, and by allowing fee in lieu parking, misery is increased for residents and any nearby businesses. Next bullet, business parking in lieu needs to ensure parking is provided in a reasonable distance from commercial areas. And he mentioned 1/10 to 2/10 of a mile. Final bullet, parking standards need to be set in terms of maximum hunting time for parking 10 minutes and or maximum distance from the development in question to ensure sufficient reasonable parking. And then a final note, lowering the parking standards at the time, at the same time as a proposed DA is being discussed is not appropriate. Regards, Michael Thomas. So that was the one comment that I've received during the SEPA period. The SEPA period will go till the 28th to allow 15 days and not to end on a holiday. So there is still time for comment. Now, at this point, I will ask the PC chair and PC if they would like to make comments at this point. If we would like to, maybe I could perhaps share my screen and go over the track changes. I'm here to take notes and see how what we currently recommend can be improved. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Jesse. I think as a starting point, let's just see if we have any commissioner questions or comments before we get into looking at all those track changes. So yeah, are there any commissioners that have any questions on this topic?
Olivia Moe here. I do. I had a question about a couple of the points of the 5 points. Are we going to go through them one by one, or are we just all going to ask all of our questions at one?
Yeah, why don't you go ahead and go through your questions, okay. Assuming it's not too long a list that
had
other people out. So yeah, ask your questions and then we'll move on from there.
Okay. So for bicycle parking, this is an actual parking, like a spot, like an area. In my head, I'm just thinking of the metal rack where people can park their bike. This is an actual designated spot. And if so, do you know what the size of it is compared to a car parking spot? Is it like half?
I would say it's significantly less than that. And an example that you could see today is the Park and Main development, Huck's Daughter Coffee. There's some bike racks in front there. So it can, as long as ADA requirements are met on a sidewalk, it could just take up a sidewalk. So as far as within the parking, the automobile parking area, it may not take any of that space up at all. It could be just a little area set aside under an eave next to the front door of an establishment.
Okay. For number two, are we talking about like a potential parking structure, like a parking garage? Or I guess this confused me. Or is this an apartment complex could potentially go up and then not have enough parking and then just pay a fee?
So at this point, we're just making it possible in the code to have that discussion. And so I'm not trying to deflect, not completely answering your question, but it's the thought with in staff hasn't been baked enough to really speculate. I think you bring up a good point as far as, you know, if let's say somebody wants to build a 20 unit apartment building in downtown and they don't have adequate parking, then, you know, at what point do we draw the line? You know, how much, let's say, for example, a development requires 20 parking spots. They can accommodate 10 of them, and then they can, you know, then we charge them $10,000 or $20,000 per, I mean, it might be more than that. I think we'd have to do some kind of a market study to see how much parking costs in North Bend. But no, I think it opens up a can of worms, and I think that would be a completely other item to be discussed within the parking, within the planning commission. I think what we don't want is to make this an excuse and out to not add parking in downtown, because the intention of the code update is to, make parking more efficient, not make an existing problem worse.
Right. No, exactly. I would hate for it to be an option where you didn't have to provide parking and you could just pay X fee, because I feel like that would probably get messy that way.
Okay.
And then for number four, are we changing the number of parking spaces required by a new development? I was always under the impression that it was two. And are we trying to change it to 1.5?
Here, let me
scroll. Because I'm seeing, sorry, I'm on my laptop, so I can't flip through. Okay, so like residential, multifamily housing, having two bedrooms or more per dwelling units, it was two spaces, and now it's 1.5. Is that, am I reading that correctly? Or we're submitting that it should be changed to 1.5?
Yeah, that is. Okay. And if that's, if that is something that the commission feels is not reasonable, then we will take note and we can
comment. Is there a reason, have people complained that two is just, is too many, or is it's too difficult to provide two? Or I guess I'm just wondering like where it came about that we wanted to change the number just in general.
I haven't heard complaints personally from developers that's too onerous. I got that number from some of the changes in here were from Issaquah's code, where a lot of the changes were from, they have more details than we do, but I believe that was a number that we saw in there. And then,
This is Jamie. I would just add, I have heard, and we have a new development concept that came in this week actually for two downtown projects, and they specifically said two is too many per unit. So we have received that feedback before.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Is unless you were gonna keep going on my previous question.
I just wanted to make one quick comment the benefit behind that is just you look at our downtown, or you look at downtowns in cities in general, and there's a lot of room allocated to surface parking. And so if there is, if something isn't completely necessary, then it's good to cut down on impervious surface where possible.
Yeah. Okay. And then for number five, we are trying to eliminate counting on-street parking. Am I incorrect when I was reading the Habitat for Humanity, their parking, aren't they counting on-street parking for, I think it was 7 parking spaces? Or did I just misread that?
Yes, they are providing 7 on-site and I believe 9 along the frontage of their property. So the code does allow that. In the downtown commercial, it talks about that. But otherwise, for a single family home or something, the requirement has been 2 on-site.
On-site. Okay. So would number 5 be trying to eliminate what Habitat is doing, or is that different because it's part of their frontage?
No, that would be limiting multifamily. But okay. Like was discussed with the developer agreement that was mentioned before, that if it's for affordable housing projects, then that's always something that could be discussed.
Right, something that could be added into a DA to be allowed. No, that makes sense. Okay, all right. Yeah. Well, those are all of my questions. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Other commissioners. All right, I'm hearing none.
So I think we're done. Gary, sorry about that. I was.
Yeah, Commissioner Bovers.
So I guess kind of going along with what Commissioner Moe was talking about there, I see if I can follow along here. The 1.5 change to for multifamily, the way I see that, that could be used in two different ways. Going to 1.5 could deter more parking, or at least deter people from possibly buying two cars for their multifamily, which would then push to, you know, if you did have to, you'd have to do more street parking, right? I can see there's the move from 2 to 1.5 would the idea there being limiting the parking availability. My comment about the in lieu and fee is kind of along the same lines. I like the in lieu fee when applied to a public parking area, right? If when it's applied to a larger parking area in the downtown, available for multiple housing areas or a larger area versus seeing something on site for every single location. Mm-hmm. But I would not want to see that, like Commissioner Moe said, I would not like to see that as a means of getting out of creating parking spots, right? That I think that you still have to have the parking on site as much as possible, unless you're going to go to something like a parking garage being funded by this in lieu fee, or, you know, being something that like that, adding to that availability of creating a parking garage or a parking area or something like that, that everyone shares in.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Commissioner Bovers. Yeah, I think that the sense is that instead of just having a bucket to put money in as kind of a way to get out of creating parking, it would maybe help the commission and council to, I guess, have a vision of what it would go to. You know, maybe if something like this gets set up, having sites picked out, having costs laid out and the roadmap to get there would probably help stomach that versus just some abstract fund that may not come to fruition.
Agreed. And I think that goes back to Michael Thomas's point about, man, I'm spacing on it, sorry. His point more about, you know, it shouldn't be just a vague, you know, fund. It should have some kind of thought process to it.
That's
great. Okay. Anything else, Commissioner Bovers?
No, that's what I had for. I'm thinking through it one more time. Bicycle parking, has there been any thought to making that more of a recommendation versus a requirement? I think that bicycle parking, I definitely agree with it, and I think it's a great thing to have, especially like you said, if it's something on the sidewalk, it's not taking up a parking stall. But is that seen as does it need to be a requirement, I guess, is my question, you know, especially when you talk about a smaller project. I know you had some exemptions there. But just reading through it, it did seem like there'd be situations that I can think of that would be kind of onerous to require versus just a recommendation. Is there something that could be, you know, could it be worded more as a recommendation, and does that have any teeth to it?
Yes, and kind of. Right now it basically is a recommendation, and so streetscapes are a part of our design standards, and maybe Jamie can dive into this in a little more detail than me because she's got a bit more experience in that regard. But as of right now, there's a certain typology of street that we're trying to meet. And when development comes, there's frontage improvements. And so there's a suite of things you can choose from. or that we approve as the staff planners, you know, those are garbages, benches, and bike parking, bike racks. And so it is kind of a suggestion, but not a hard rule right now. So that the way you're describing it is kind of how things are right now.
I guess I kind of like it more as a recommendation with maybe some incentives versus a requirement. Everybody has to put one in if you meet this certain size. I'm not steadfast on that, but I feel like that would be, to me, that feels better than saying, hey, you have to put these bike racks in at a certain point.
Okay. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Any other commissioners, questions or comments? Going once, going twice. Okay, so now I think we're done. Jesse, did you have anything else that you wanted to add in closing?
No, I've got notes from Commissioner Moe, notes from Commissioner Bovers. I can make the recommendation, and in 2 weeks we have the public hearing, so there may be more public comments. It looks like these changes are relatively minor, but yeah, unless there's further comments from commission or we wanted to dive into anything in more detail, then I'm finished with this.
All right, we'll wrap this topic up and look forward to it in the next iteration.
Thank you.
Okay, moving on, agenda-wise, we did have a second period for public comment. I think this was mainly acknowledging that we're in a new format here with virtual attendance, and people may have challenges getting online and working through the technology. So I will, this is not reopening the public hearing. This is a second opportunity if there's any members of the public online that would wish to offer a comment on any topic other than the development agreement that was the subject of the public hearing. Okay, hearing none, we'll move past that. And I think we are ready to, that covers tonight's agenda. So I think unless either staff or commissioners have something they would like to bring up, I think we're ready to adjourn, and a motion to adjourn would be in order. Oh, before we do that, I think Commissioner Bush was not able to join us tonight, so we need a motion to excuse her from tonight's meeting.
Okay, motion to excuse Commissioner Bush from tonight's meeting.
Okay, second. Motion's been made by Commissioner Moe and seconded by Commissioner Torgerson. All in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
None opposed. Commissioner Bush is excused from tonight's meeting. Now, is there any other topics either staff or commission members would like to bring up before we wrap up? Okay, hearing none, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
I move that we adjourn the meeting.
Motion has been made by Commissioner Greenberg. Is there a second?
Seconded
by Commissioner Blanco, I believe.
Yes, correct.
Okay, the motion has been made and seconded to adjourn tonight's meeting. All in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? All right, motion carries and we are adjourned. Thanks, everybody.
Yeah, thank you. Good
job. Presentations. Thank
good
you.
Job,
thank you,
everyone. Glad I didn't have to do it this time.
Well, thanks for doing it previously. Yes. All right, everybody. Okay. We'll see you next time. Thanks. Thank you.
Bye.